Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
One of those days where you look up at the clock, it's a certain time, and then look down, keep doing your work, and oh, it's 2:05. I should probably turn the mic on, do a radio show. How you doing? Spencer on Sports, final day of May. We've made it through the month of May. June starts tomorrow. NBA Finals start tomorrow as well. Talk a little basketball later on in the program. Crazy story. I don't know if you've been following in the NBA, the alleged burner Twitter account with one of the referees in the NBA. The league is investigating. If you haven't heard that story, we'll talk about that before 3 o'clock. We got plenty of baseball to get to today. We'll talk a little bit more about the NCAA regional coming up this weekend for the Iowa Hawkeyes Friday night against North Carolina over in Terre Haute, Indiana. Talk a little bit more about that here from both sides of the coin. The Hawkeyes and their head coach Rick Heller, also UNC head coach Scott Forbes, both weighing in on the matchup. We'll hear from them here in just a little bit. There is a unique problem, not at Terre Haute, but at one of the NCAA regionals, which has, well, teams that are competing at the regional scrambling. I'll tell you why here in just a little bit, too. It's in Lexington, Kentucky. So I'll give you that much of the story. And we'll tell you why coming up in just a little bit. Also want to get into some Major League Baseball. Got some games going on right now, watching the White Sox and the Angels here in the studio. White Sox not doing so well. Angels are. Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, both hitting home runs today. The Cubs are beating the Rays again. What's going on here? The Rays forget how to play baseball? Going to the north side of Chicago has been their kryptonite, apparently, this week. We'll talk about that here in the next half hour or so this afternoon. But we are going to start the program. Very important day. It is kickoff time announcement day. Not for the whole season. Select games. We have kickoff times for college football games. It means it's getting closer and closer. Still a few months to go. We've got, what, 2 months? Basically 3 months before week zero gets here. I know how much we all love week zero, but we will get into kickoff times momentarily for both Iowa and Iowa State. Plus a big change when it comes to one of the bowl games. The bowl game schedule's out today too. The last thing on anybody's mind right now is obviously college football bowl games in December, but there was an important change to one of the sponsors of the bowl game, bowl games. In December. It's a game in which Iowa State, the Cyclones, previously have played in. It's got a new name. Maybe a little bit less confusion when it comes to sponsorships, because there were two games on the slate this past season and actually the last handful of seasons that have had kind of technically the same sponsor name, just a few words kind of changed around. This one has some potential. The Sickos Committee, if you follow them on Twitter, if you're a big college football fan, Sickos Committee, they make good out of the ugliness of college football, the Iowa football team. All due respect, of course, to the University of Iowa and their football team and the coaches, players, and staff. Sickos Committee dubbed the Iowa football team their national champions last year. There was actually a food drive done of it, so there was good that came out of it. There was a local organization that benefited from it. So if you are trying to figure out the type of football Sickos Committee honors, it's that kind of football, punting, quarterback play that often is not the best quarterback play, offense that struggles, that kind of football, not just with Iowa, but across the country. And they are already having a field day with this bull name change as well. We'll talk about that here momentarily. 319-366-1600 is the talker text line if you want to weigh in on anything going on in the sports world today. This is Spencer, by the way. That's why the show is called Spencer on Sports. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well. And Isaac, yesterday we were talking about our weekend highlights, and I neglected to mention one of the weekend highlights was I was at a local newsstand book retailer, and I found the first college football preview of 2023. The big one I usually get, Phil Steele is the one I usually, you know, buy and get because it's the most complete one out there. But I've officially picked up a college football preview, so it soon begins.
Yeah, I think Mark said yesterday 88 days, so that'd mean 87 days today. Man, it comes up on you really quick.
It does.
Quick. I mean, it feels like it didn't end that long ago. I mean, obviously we've had the NFL draft and stuff like that, but right. Football does not seem like it ended, or it would, like, football does not seem like it's in the rearview mirror at all right now. And maybe that's just the nature of football. It is king in this country. So
I mean, the NFL has like a 3-hour production for their scheduled release.
Right. Yeah. But it really just sneaks up on you a little bit.
It does. It does. That is for sure. And we haven't even officially started summer yet, and we're already talking college football. And that's where we're going to jump in today here. This is great radio. This is schedule kickoff. It's not schedule release radio, but it is kickoff time radio. So if any of you are sitting there with your phone in your hand, you know, just kind of doodling around while you're listening to this radio program, just get out the calendar app. I'm sure this has been already sent in an email to you, but just get out your calendar app, grab a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, and this is the information you need to know for both Iowa and Iowa State. Not all of the kickoff times have been announced, but we do know a few for both. We do also know the CBS and NBC Big Ten schedules, too. Dawn of a new era with a new media deal. We'll talk about that momentarily, but I'll stop burying the lead here. For the Iowa football program, Iowa football team, 3 games announced earlier today by the Big Ten in conjunction with their media partners. Of course, Big Ten Network, ESPN, CBS, NBC, and Fox. The non-conference game against the Fighting Jordan Loves of Utah State coming to Kinnick Stadium on September 2nd. That is bright and early 11 a.m. kickoff on FS1. So Utah State and Iowa, September 2nd from Kinnick Stadium, 11 o'clock on FS1. The Cy-Hawk football game, September 9th, the following weekend, 2:30 p.m. over in Ames. That will be broadcast on Fox, so a national audience gets the Iowa-Iowa State game on Fox, and the non-conference finale against Western Michigan, which follows on September 16th at Kinnick Stadium. That is also a 2:30 start time on BTN. So Iowa-Utah State, 11 a.m. on FS1, Iowa-Iowa State, 2:30 on September 9th, and then September 16th, Western Michigan. The Broncos, I can't call them the Fighting PJ Flex anymore. The fighting, name some random alumni. Remembering some Broncos. See, Sky Moore is active in the NFL, so I can't remember him. Just the Broncos from Western Michigan. That game is a 2:30 start time on BTN. As has been announced, the Iowa-Penn State game on September 23rd, the following week. That is was set for a 7 o'clock game on CBS. It's actually been bumped up a half hour to 6:30 p.m., so a half hour earlier for the whiteout game in Happy Valley. A couple others have been announced as well. The October 7th homecoming game for Iowa, well, it has 3 possible start times. We don't know the network yet, but the home game against Purdue on October 7th could be a 2:30, 3, or 6:30 p.m. kickoff. And then the final one, and a little bit of a change, and kind of intriguing. It's been on BTN, I think, the last, I want to say, 2 years, maybe longer than that. It's kind of fluctuated between BTN and Fox. But the Black Friday game against Nebraska, this time in Lincoln. Remember, the Huskers came into Iowa City last year and won. The Huskers and Hawkeyes from Lincoln will be on CBS this year. National audience will get that at 11 a.m. on Black Friday. Of course, there is going to be another Big Ten game at night on Black Friday, the Michigan State-Penn State game. So you get 2 Big Ten football games on Black Friday, one in the midday hours, one in the evening hours. But Iowa-Nebraska will be a CBS game this year, part of CBS's new package. So that is what we know for Iowa, for the Hawkeyes. For Iowa State, their first 3 games have also been announced. Of course, we just mentioned a few moments ago, the Cy-Hawk football game is going to be a 2:30 start time on September 9th on Fox. The opener for the Cyclones at Jack Trice Stadium against the Northern Iowa Panthers, 1 o'clock on September 2nd, so 1 p.m. kickoff there. That is an ESPN Plus game, so if, much like the ACC network for Hawkeye baseball on Friday, you do not yet have ESPN Plus, have not subscribed to that, and you're an Iowa State fan, and, or even a UNI fan for what it's worth, and you'd like to check that game out on September 2nd, well, like I said, mark those calendars. UNI and Iowa State from Jack Trice kicking off at 1 o'clock on September 2nd. We mentioned Iowa-Iowa State at 2:30 kickoff on the 9th. And then the non-conference game. Yes, if you have not heard, Iowa State football playing a non-conference game at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. 11 a.m. on September 16th. That will be on ESPN2 or ESPNU. If you want to see the Cyclones go in and play at the home stadium of a Mid-American Conference team, that is bright and early at 11 o'clock over in Ohio. All the other games still, according to Iowa State sports information, as TBA. So that's what we know for Iowa State as well. UNI, Iowa, and Ohio. Those three games' kick times have been announced by their respective schools. I mentioned we know as well as we continue kickoff time radio here this afternoon, we do have the NBC and CBS Big Ten schedules. Of course, these two networks are going to be a bigger part of the network moving, or the media deal, excuse me, for the Big Ten moving forward. We're starting to see a little taste of what we can expect for these networks. And in fact, we do know there are going to be three streaming exclusive Big Ten games from NBC. Kind of interesting to see that. We knew it was going to be a big part of this. Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service, has, you know, they started running Major League Baseball on it, I believe. Isaac, do they have a, that's Apple TV that has the soccer contract, right? But yeah. Does NBC have a soccer thing too?
Yeah, they've got, Apple TV's got MLS, and NBC's got Premier League. So okay, I've already got Peacock for your Premier League season, but yeah, they've got the Premier League, the EPL.
Okay, so Peacock already has some sports offerings. We knew they'd probably be a big part of this, and hey, it's 2023. Soon it'll be 2024, and I don't think any of us are surprised that that games are going to start to be moved to streaming exclusive here going forward. Notre Dame, I think, had a game within the last couple years that was streaming only, but we have three Big Ten games that will solely be on streaming for NBC, and those are Michigan and East Carolina in week one. That is Peacock only. Penn State hosting Delaware September 9th for an 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff. And then probably the marquee matchup of the three, Michigan State and Washington. Those two teams played a heck of a game out in Seattle last year, and those two teams will play in East Lansing at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central Time, September 16th, on Peacock only. So streaming only if you want to check out Sparty and the Huskies there. A few others we've known about for the NBC schedule, West Virginia, Penn State. That was previously announced as their opening weekend game. That's a 6:30 Central Time kick. It'll be both on NBC and Peacock. Also, Ohio State and Notre Dame, same night as the Iowa-Penn State game. That's the other marquee game in the Big Ten that year, or that night, excuse me. That will be a 6:30 kickoff on September 23rd. Also, NBC announcing they've got USC Notre Dame. USC already getting lumped in with the Big Ten teams. Kind of interesting there. Or is Notre Dame getting lumped in with the Big Ten teams? I don't know. But that's on October 14th. And then November 11th, Michigan State, Ohio State. That was also previously announced from NBC. CBS also announcing games which they will be broadcasting. They've got Ohio State, Indiana on September 2nd. Northwestern and Rutgers is a Sunday game now on CBS. Featured Sunday Big Ten football over Labor Day weekend. Kind of interesting to see that. September 9th, they've got Michigan hosting UNLV. As mentioned, Iowa at Penn State on September 23rd at 6:30. Iowa at Nebraska on Black Friday at 11 a.m. Central. Two games yet to be determined on CBS's limited schedule. Those are on October 28th and November 4th, for what it's worth. So we know those as well. So a new era certainly dawning here when it comes to Big Ten football. I mentioned, and this is where it gets interesting, the bowl schedule is out. I know I'm totally thinking about bowl games here on May 31st when it's, what, 90-something degrees here all this week. But the bowl schedule is out, if you're so curious. Things starting up December 16th with the Bahamas Bowl. And, of course, we'll go through the end of the bowl season, which is set for January 8th with the College Football Playoff National Championship. As I mentioned, there has been a significant sponsor change. The now former Cheez-It Bowl, which, if you remember, was 2 years ago now, Iowa State played Clemson in the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando. Clemson ended up winning that game over Iowa State. Well, the Cheez-It Bowl is no longer. Cheez-It Bowl dropping out. Now, remember, this is, and I said this is where it got kind of confusing. You had the Cheez-It Bowl, and then you had the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl on January 1st. Well, now, to clear up any confusion, to give a new sponsor some opportunities, a sponsor that certainly needs all the press in the world, when I tell you the name here in just a second, the Cheez-It Bowl in Orlando has become the Pop-Tarts Bowl. The Pop-Tarts Bowl. And as I mentioned, the Sickos Committee is having a field day with this, because Sickos Committee really pumping up, dousing coaches with items, right? Like you saw Shane Beamer get doused with the mayonnaise after the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Mike Locksley did it last year, too, for Maryland. They won the game. They get the mayonnaise douse. The Sun Bowl, sponsored by Tony the Tiger. The winning coach got a cooler full of cornflakes dumped on them. There are now people suggesting that the winning coach of the Pop-Tarts Bowl should have Pop-Tarts dumped on them. They make mini Pop-Tarts. It would be less painful than dumping the full-size thing on them, in my humble opinion. But I think we absolutely have to. I think it just adds to the absurdity of college sports, college football in particular, that it's only right to have a cooler full of Pop-Tarts dumped on the winning coach. And it is an ACC Big 12 game, by the way, so there is a chance, Cyclone fans, you could see Matt Campbell, should the Cyclones qualify for the Pop-Tarts Bowl, and it happens that they douse the winning coach with a bucket full of Pop-Tarts, you could see him get doused with that coming up in late December. What flavor, like, do you, okay, Isaac, important question here. I know you're busy. I hate to keep pulling you away from actual work topics, but if you were to douse a coach with Pop-Tarts, do you choose a bad flavor or a good flavor? Because I would go with the bad, because you want to eat the good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would
you
assume.
Don't waste the
yeah,
good.
You don't want to waste the good ones. And man, that's a lot of. I'm thinking of all the wrapping that you got to take off for those too. Man, that's a lot. I also don't know the mini ones. What flavors? I assume there's like a more limited flavor for the small ones.
Now I gotta look this up.
I'm not too sure.
Great radio.
I would imagine that you would want to do some of the worse flavors.
Okay, so debate, and listeners, you are welcome to chime in too. What is the worst Pop-Tart flavor? 319-366-1600. What is, in your opinion, what is the worst Pop-Tart flavor? I have my answer in mind. It might offend some people, but think into your brain the worst Pop-Tart flavor that you would douse the coach with.
Man, I know my favorite.
What's your favorite then?
I like the brown sugar ones.
Okay,
usually pretty.
See, that's my least favorite.
That's your so. Well, now we got issues, I guess.
I would douse him with that, or I don't know. Apparently they have. So I'm on. Pop-Tarts has a website, in case you did not know that, listening audience. They have many more flavors than you might think of the mini Pop-Tarts. So it's not limited, but these are the mini Pop-Tart flavors. Brown sugar cinnamon, frosted blueberry, frosted chocolatey fudge, frosted confetti cake, strawberry banana, and strawberry.
Confetti cake sounds like the worst to me. I'm not a big fan of confetti cake flavored things most of the time.
I've never even heard of confetti cake flavored pumpkins.
It's usually just like, it's just like pure sugar. Not that Pop-Tarts aren't normally just pure sugar anyway, right. But confetti cake seems like the worst out of that list to me, but you would obviously go with the brown sugar, unfortunately.
I respect them on the hierarchy of Pop-Tarts, if there is such a thing, but if I'm in the store and I'm presented with the choice of, say, the s'mores Pop-Tarts, they have like a hot fudge sundae one. I haven't eaten like Pop-Tarts in a long time. I've eaten my fair share of Pop-Tarts in my time, but not recently. Yeah, flavors are laid out in front of me, and it's okay, you could choose between brown sugar, cinnamon, hot fudge, s'mores, or like some fruit flavor like strawberry. I'm choosing the other three over brown sugar cinnamon.
I forgot that they had a s'mores one, honestly, and I'm trying to remember back. I think I did like the s'mores one a lot. I think that's like the best one toasted too. Like if you put it in the toaster oven, because then it's like an actual s'more.
Exactly. Hot fudge sundae too. It tastes like, I mean, it's not the real thing, but it's right up there. 3034 weighs in on the text line, saying the strawberry banana flavor doesn't sound good. I just don't know how you make a banana flavored Pop-Tart work. That just sounds nasty. A strawberry, sure, like those. That's a classic. Strawberry, it's great, but I don't know. 3034 also says their favorite is hot fudge sundae. So tally those in the column. I'd still roll with like s'mores and stuff. If you're gonna douse a coach with like the inedible Pop Tarts, don't they make? And I know some people enjoy these, but I'm fairly certain they make like unfrosted Pop Tarts. Just like cover the coach in the unfrosted ones. I know I'm sure people enjoy them. That's why they make them, but I don't know. But the Pop-Tarts Bowl is soon to be part of our bowl rotation December 28th, alongside the Fenway Bowl and the Pinstripe Bowl, a favorite bowl game I know of Todd Brommelkamp back in the sports office. Also, the Alamo Bowl on that evening as well from San Antonio. But we welcome with open arms the Pop-Tarts Bowl to our lineup. Am I being invaded here? What's going on? Todd Brommelkamp in the studio. This is like a crossover episode nobody wanted.
Hey, nobody asked for this, but did I hear this right? He likes the brown sugar Pop-Tarts?
He does, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this might be the last straw. I really am not quite sure.
It's two against one now, Isaac.
I really am not quite sure we can continue to work with him.
Take it to HR. Sorry, I got your mic off.
I could not remember all the. I can't remember the last time I had a Pop-Tart that was not one of the fruit ones. So I honestly couldn't remember all the flavors when I was younger, I guess.
That's not an excuse, though.
Okay, well, what's your favorite?
The brown sugar one was your favorite.
What's your favorite then? If you're gonna have an issue with it, you got to put your favorite.
I got a major issue with it.
Okay, what's your favorite then?
Look at me. Do I look like I'm picky when it comes to? But I can tell you what my least favorite, and it's the brown sugar. Brown sugar, it's not a flavor. Brown sugar is something
brown
that you,
sugar.
Something that you cook with.
Right.
It's an ingredient.
Well, they've got cinnamon in there too. They've got cinnamon in there as well. It's not just brown sugar.
You ever go to your grandma's and she says, "Hey, I made some brown sugar cookies for you"? No.
It's two against one. We got to have this conversation. Todd, you call HR, and we'll get this sorted out in the break. 319-366-1600, talking Pop-Tarts, because the Pop-Tart Bowl is a thing. Jim from Kyoto says, Toastems are better overall than Pop-Tarts and cheaper. So I think, Jim, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you might be on Isaac's side. Toastems, are when you're on a budget, are legit. I will give them that, just not the brown sugar cinnamon. Toastems, if such a thing exists. 229, we're overdue for a break. We'll get into some baseball coming up in just a little bit. Also a little basketball talk. Finals start tomorrow. We'll talk about that more in depth tomorrow, obviously previewing the matchup between the Nuggets and the Heat, game one tomorrow night right here on KGYM. But there is a crazy story in the NBA involving a possible burner Twitter account for one of the league's officials. We'll get to that before 3 o'clock too. It's Spencer on Sports here in the gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kobelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. It's going to be toasty and humid. Temperatures will be up around 90, and a few pop-up storms will be possible today. We'll then have a chance for rain continuing this evening with mostly clear skies for the rest of the night. Temperatures will drop down into the mid-60s. Tomorrow and Friday will be very similar. We'll have plenty of sunshine around. Temperatures will be around 90 degrees, and we'll have the chance for these hit-or-miss showers and storms. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Opening to the public in September 2023, it's Pin Seekers, with two levels of year-round entertainment featuring 56 all-weather luxury golf suites, smart target greens, 18 holes of authentic mini golf, 6 lanes of duck pin mini bowling, multi-sport simulators, event space, and so much more. For a limited time, get your individual or family membership and save over $500 while also receiving 3 months free. Get your membership or gift card today at pinseekers.golf.
Save big money on everything at Menards. Add style and security with Schlage lock sets. With Schlage's wide selection of smart locks and keyless entry locks, there's no more hiding keys under the doormat or losing track of copies. Right now, the Schlage Camelot electronic deadbolt is $109.99 after rebate. Good through June 4th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Peck at 2:32, Spencer on Sports here on a Wednesday afternoon. Final day of May of 2023 at 319-366-1600. While we were arguing about Pop-Tarts, Shohei Ohtani hit a home run for the second time today. Now 8-1 in favor of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at Guaranteed Rate Field on the south side of Chicago. Ohtani with two-run home runs today. Mike Trout also adding a two-run blast, part of that contest down on the south side. The Cubs still leading the Rays 2-0. Are the Cubs about to sweep the best team in baseball? Decent chance they might. Still in the fifth there at Wrigley Field. 319-366-1600. Okay, so during the break, I got a text from someone. Not on the text line, but my significant other listening to the radio program, as she often does while at work. Impeccable taste. Listening to this radio show. Isaac, she sides with you. She has said, and she said in all caps, this is the text. I don't usually read personal texts on the air. Brown sugar Pop-Tart is so good, in all caps. See, it is now 2-2.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just got ganged up on a little bit. And then Todd came in here and you guys were like trying to fight me over here that I just said I like a specific type of Pop-Tart, and you're coming here saying that it's my last day on the job and everything over it.
See, okay, here's your saving grace, right? Neither Todd nor I have the capability to make that decision. So we can say that, but it's not going to be true. If you see our boss coming down the hall and you're not expecting her to come down this far into the building, then you know something is wrong.
I just feel like I just held off an ambush a little bit there. Just came in all because I said, like, brown sugar Pop-Tarts. If I had known that that was going to cause such a stir in the office here, then I would have just kept my mouth shut and said strawberry or something like that.
Okay, now 3034 is on your side, so 3034 just broke the tie. He said 3034 says they don't want to break the tie. Brown sugar cinnamon is not a bad Pop-Tart, though.
I can't remember the last time I've had a Pop-Tart. Usually my girlfriend buys them. and she just gets like the strawberry ones. I don't usually don't even eat them anyway, but I guess I'm trying to remember would eat them. I think I like the brown sugar ones or the s'mores ones. I will give you the s'mores ones are very, very good.
Now I just really want, Pop-Tarts. we get a Pop-Tart machine for the sports office. Asking for a friend, 319-366-1600. Do you side with Todd and I or Isaac? Your thoughts on brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts. Are they legit or are they awful? 319-366-1600. Todd and I say they're awful. Isaac, others have said they're not bad. Isaac says they're his favorite. We got onto Pop-Tarts if you missed the first part of the show because the Cheez-It Bowl is now the Pop-Tarts Bowl in the college football bowl rotation. Just announced earlier today. Now I'm looking at Pop-Tart flavor list. This is great radio. This is why you people listen to this radio show. Pop-Tart flavor list. Frosted banana bread. Would you eat frosted banana bread? Apple Jacks. They make Apple Jacks Pop-Tarts. Frosted chocolate chip. See, that's like a chocolate chip cookie. That sounds delicious. Frosted chocolate fudge. Cookies and cream. I could go with that. They have grape Pop-Tarts. What is going on here? Ew. Eggo waffle maple flavored. What? This is bordering on, I hate to bring another brand that doesn't really advertise with us, but I feel like Oreos went down the just because you can doesn't mean you should line a long time ago, and they've got a ton of weird flavors like watermelon and just stuff that's like nasty. I don't know why you would ever, like Peeps flavored Oreos.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you'll go down the grocery store and you'll pass them and you'll look and be like, that's new, but also why? Like, yeah. You just kind of look at it and you're like, that's different, I suppose, but why are you even attempting it?
Give me the double stuff, the original double stuff. They have the mega stuff ones. I've yet to try those, but I've heard they're like,
I think
way
it's
too sugary.
I haven't tried it either, but it looks like it's too much.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild to think about, but like in your head, you're like, oh, you can't get too much. But it looks, when I see it, I'm like, that's definitely too much. That's ridiculous.
The best Oreo, now that we're on to Oreos, I don't know how we keep getting onto this stuff, but Spencer on sports, not Spencer on snack foods, but they had like a 4th of July firecracker Oreo with like Pop Rocks in the cream. Those are really good. I will recommend those. If you see those at your local establishment, at least try them once. They are good. We'll leave it at that. 2291 asking, questioning your love of Pop-Tarts, by the way, asking, is Isaac like 16? He's not 16. He would be barely eligible to work here, but if he was, but yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a certain age to like Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. I'm 23. I think I've said it multiple times, but for those interested, I am 23, but I don't know. I like Pop-Tarts. They're fine. I don't know. I don't have them that often though.
We don't have any in our house right now. So yeah, I can't imagine the last time I had them, but now we're on Pop-Tarts because the Pop-Tarts bowl is the thing. Bowl of Pop-Tarts. That sounds good. They make Pop-Tart cereal. Okay, we gotta get off Pop-Tarts. why are we still on this subject? Move on. Get on with it. Scene from Monty Python. Yes, I know Monty Python. For those of you who are like, wait, what are you talking about? He knows that movie? Yeah. Get on with it. We're getting on with it. Sports, baseball. Get you an MLB scoreboard update here in just a moment, but NCAA regionals, talked about it at length yesterday with Iowa and North Carolina coming up this Friday from Terre Haute, Indiana. ACC Network, 6 o'clock Central Time if you want to check out the game on TV. Hawkeyes announcing yesterday, Marcus Morgan, no surprise, he started the opener for the Big Ten tournament, helped pitch into the weekend as well as he got the start in the game against Maryland on Sunday for the Big Ten Tournament Championship game. He will get the nod on the hill for Coach Rick Heller and the squad coming up on Friday evening from Terre Haute, Indiana. Morgan 4-2 with a 3.88 ERA on the season. He'll be countered by Jake Knapp for the Tar Heels. Knapp 5-3 with a 4.79 ERA. Head coach Rick Heller talking a little bit about the pitching rotation beyond Marcus Morgan.
We set the starter on Friday will be Marcus Morgan. I mean, we're still, you know, kind of looking at things for the rest of the week and haven't officially set what we're going to do at this point.
As for the rest of the regional, aside from the Tar Heels, Heller's saying they got to work early on a scouting report against North Carolina right after the matchup was announced. They got to work on scouting the Tar Heels, and they're also going to work on the other teams in the regional, Indiana State and Wright State, too.
Once we feel, you know, comfortable with what we have there, then you just keep, you know, knock them out and have them done. And, you know, you're likely going to be able to see some things firsthand as well, with the first game being at 1 o'clock. And but we'll have a good plan and a good report, and the guys will be ready to roll.
Head coach Rick Heller there, Hawkeyes 42-14 coming into the regional. This is the sixth time they've been to an NCAA regional, third time under Rick Heller's leadership. Last time, of course, was in 2017. As for North Carolina, they are coming in, making their 35th all-time appearance and their sixth consecutive and third straight under third-year head coach Scott Forbes. UNC, a team you see quite a bit in the postseason. They've made the postseason 20 of the last 23 years. Of course, you throw out the pandemic year in 2020 where you got, 10, 15, maybe 20 games into the year, and the season was canceled because of the pandemic. Their head coach, Scott Forbes, had this to say about consistency and consistently making the postseason.
You know, this time of year, you're just hoping that you're in the tournament. Every year, you know, you a lot of teams take it for granted. And, you know, after going through what we went through and missing it 2 years in 15 and 16, right there on the bubble, I know what that feels like. So these guys have put in the work. But, yeah, we're excited. You know, you get to go somewhere and you haven't played any of them. So that's an added bonus of excitement for sure.
Head coach Scott Forbes of the North Carolina baseball team, who Iowa will be facing in the NCAA regional coming up on Friday night. If you missed an interview yesterday from the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, they had Kyle Huseman on, who covers the Hawkeye baseball team, to talk about this weekend's regional. One of the key storylines, especially impacting North Carolina, is one of their star players, Vance Honeycutt. He's their star outfielder. He's set to miss the action this weekend due to a lower back injury, and Forbes addressed that as well.
You know, Vance Honeycutt's going to be playing baseball for a long time, way past probably me even being coaching that long. He's that talented. So, you know, you get the doctor's opinions, and we have to do what's best for Vance. And Vance, he wants to play, but until that lower back heals completely, it's just one of those things. You know, you have to rest to heal it.
Hawkeyes and Tar Heels have met twice all time. Actually played in that first part of the 2020 season before things got canceled because of the pandemic. Iowa beat them tournament up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. UNC winning the last meeting before that, which was a long time before that, back in 1990 in the NCAA regional in Waterbury, Connecticut. UNC winning that meeting back in 1990, 5-3. So we'll see if Iowa can solve the Tar Heels here. Iowa, the 2 seed, of course, and North Carolina, the number 3 seed, heading into this weekend's regional. Things starting up on Friday. Again, the first game of the day is the Indiana State, the host team, the Sycamores. Sycamores, you heard me say it there. The host team, the number 1 team in the regional, hosting the Wright State Raiders. 1 o'clock Eastern, noon Central on ESPN+. And then, of course, Iowa, North Carolina, a 6 o'clock start on ACC Network. Winners move on to Saturday, as do the losers. It's a double elimination tournament with the regional tournament. So you'll have Iowa and North Carolina. Whoever wins moves on to Saturday to play the Indiana State Wright State winner. And the loser will play the loser of that first matchup in the elimination round also on Saturday. That game set for 11 a.m. Central Time. 319-366-1600. I mentioned things, you go to a host site, right? You want to make sure everything is all set to roll. Everything's good. All the, you know, T's are crossed, I's are dotted when it comes to travel and hotel stays and making sure everything is in order so you can have a smooth sail in, especially if you're a team, right, and coming from far away. Well, the folks in Lexington this weekend, I saw this on ESPN.com earlier today. They are dealing with some trouble because there is a distinct lack of hotel rooms available in Lexington, Kentucky this weekend. Teams apparently are having to choose. These teams participating in the regional having to choose between hotels an hour away or by staying in the dorms on campus at the University of Kentucky. There are a number of other festivals going on in the immediate Lexington area, which has caused this problem. There is a big music festival with some major country music stars going on. The state high school playoffs in Kentucky for both softball, baseball, and track going on too. And then apparently one of the festivals that is causing a headache for availability for this regional, the Great American Brass Band Festival in nearby Danville, Kentucky. It draws apparently more than 40,000 people each year, and a lot of them stay in the Lexington proper to attend this festival. So you add all of those things that were already scheduled, and then the NCAA comes in and says, hey, Lexington, you're a host regional site. Oh, panic ensues. So we'll see. I'm assuming there's going to be room for everybody. Got to stay in the dorm. You got to stay in the dorm. It's better than trying to bus in from an hour plus away, you'd think, but hoping to see that all get resolved. West Virginia, Kentucky, Indiana, and Ball State all participating in the Lexington Regional. Sometimes you just got to deal with what life throws at you, right? And punches come, especially with scheduling teams, scheduling hotel rooms. You got to make do with what you have. But you'd think that NCAA tournament would take priority in some cases like that, wouldn't you? Got to make sure that these teams are housed for the weekend. Can't have teams sleep in the bus. That just seems like a bad idea. Indiana and Ball State, by the way, telling ESPN their teams are going to utilize the dorm option as opposed to try to book a hotel over an hour away. See if that impacts the players' on-field performance. Can't imagine it will, staying on campus, because baseball stadium is right there. But if any team opts to stay an hour away, it kind of makes you wonder. 319-366-1600. Take a quick 60-second timeout. Back with a little basketball talk after this.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, trunk lids, license plate holders, and headlights. They've got lots of headlights. When you need parts, get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's gonna fit. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back at 248, Spencer on Sports, starting to wind down the show here today. 319-366-1600. Okay, last note on food, I promise. This was sent to me during one of the breaks. We were on the subject of Pop-Tarts, in case you missed. You're like, why is he talking about Pop-Tarts? The Cheez-It Bowl, the bowl schedule released for college football today. I know, on May 31st, makes no sense, right? Well, apparently the Cheez-It Bowl is now going to be the Pop-Tarts Bowl, so we got into a big debate about Pop-Tarts, including talking about why brown sugar cinnamon is not the best flavor of Pop-Tart, even though Isaac says it is, and then we somehow got onto Oreos. Apparently, cotton candy Oreos are coming back. And I just, again, like I said, this falls into the just because you can doesn't mean you should phase of, it's not just sweets either. There are foods across the country. We are a nation of excess. We like our giant foods, and I'm not saying I haven't. I don't like, you know, like, not saying I don't like occasional big meal or whatever, but again, I will repeat for like the 18th time, just because you can does not mean you should. 319-366-1600. 4702, asking about the Iowa baseball game. TV network-wise, it is on ACC Network, also on ESPN Plus, I have learned. So if you are able to get ESPN Plus, that is also a way you can watch it. But the cable option, if you don't have streaming, cable option for Iowa baseball is the ACC Network. I know for a fact Hulu Live TV has it. I believe YouTube TV has it, but I'm not sure what other providers have it. So ACC Network is what the official bracket lists. I believe it is also on ESPN Plus. So if you are looking for Iowa baseball Friday night, you have still some time to figure out how do you get ACC Network here in a non-ACC market. 319-366-1600. 3422, great question. How long do you microwave a Pop-Tart for? 3422 says 3 seconds. I feel like that's not long enough. I feel like have I ever microwaved a Pop-Tart? I'm sure I have. We have a toaster oven, which if we had Pop-Tarts, it's going in the toaster oven. Toasted, so make sure you don't burn it, because that's just nasty. Burnt anything. Not good. Not good at all. 319-366-1600. Justin also reminding us, going back to baseball, it is a Mitch Keller day. Mitch Keller, I was reading on MLB.com, they had their top performers for the month of May. I'd have to find it here momentarily, but he was their best NL pitcher for the month of May. We talked a little bit about their impromptu NL Cy Young poll. He was, what, fifth, I think, in the NL voting, but MLB.com listed their best starting pitchers for the month of May, and Mitch Keller was it for the National League, 3-1 with a 2.45 ERA. Of course, that could change because he does pitch today on the final day of May. We'll see if it does, but certainly has been the best, if not one of the best performers when it comes to National League pitchers, especially starting pitchers here in 2023, especially in the month of May. John Gray got the nod, by the way, from the American League. Mitch Keller going tonight as they take on today, Spencer, pay attention, against the San Francisco Giants out in San Francisco. Pirates got a win last night in that series, looking to win the series, lost 14-4 in the opener a couple days ago. How about the Oakland A's? Series win over the best team in the NL, the Atlanta Braves. Got a walk-off on an error last night. Oakland A's second two-game win streak. Break them up. Oakland A's mounting a major comeback at 12-45. I know we have some A's fans listening, so I'm not speaking too much in jest. Angels still leading the White Sox 8-1. That game in the bottom half of the sixth. Cubs leading the Rays 2-0. That game in the top of the seventh. The O's hype train, by the way, going on strong, leading the Guardians 4-1. That game in the second inning from Camden Yards. Jorge Mateo, a double. Adley Rutschman with a infield single as well in that one, as we keep the hype train rolling here on KGYM. I don't have a ton of time to get to that burner phone story for the NBA. I want to get to it in detail, so if you were anticipating the story, the burner Twitter account, I'm sorry, story, I will get to it tomorrow, part of our NBA Finals preview. But basically, the too long didn't read, the cool story, bro, summation for you who are itching for that content. The NBA is investigating accusations about one of their own referees, Eric Lewis. Apparently, he's had a burner Twitter account, a second Twitter account under the name Blair Cutliffe. And this Twitter account has been defending Lewis's officiating performances, which the allegations say are his own performances. So the NBA is looking into, and we'll dive a little bit more into it tomorrow because I don't want to spend just, you know, 2 minutes on it here. But NBA is investigating, is Eric Lewis running this Twitter account under the name Blair Cutliffe? And when people are trashing Eric Lewis on social media for missed calls or seemingly favoring another team. Is it actually Eric Lewis responding to them and saying, leave Eric Lewis alone, essentially? That's the gist of what we were going to talk about. But I think it's one of those stories of like, wait, they did what now? he's defending himself on Twitter from criticism? Like, what's that all about? I don't know. 319-366-1600. We'll dive into that. We'll talk more NBA Finals. Don't forget, we do have the Finals every game, whether it's 4-game series, 5-game series, or it goes all 7. Got it for you from ESPN Radio starting tomorrow night, 6:30 pregame, 7:30 tip-off. We also have the Stanley Cup Finals with Vegas and Florida. Game 1 for that, not till Saturday night, but we do have all those games for you right here on all of our frequencies. So you can check that out coming up here this week. You can also find the full sports broadcast schedule at kgymradio.com. We keep that updated every time we make a change to it. If you want to know what's on the airwaves, you can find it there. Gym class is up next. They've got Caddy Smack today. Golf clubs are required to listen to the show today, so you better have them on you. That's coming up today between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp coming up between 4 and 6. I'm sure he will have plenty more to say about Pop-Tarts. Isaac and him will maybe come to blows live on the radio. I don't know. I don't encourage it. We'll see what happens. It's Ben Spencer on Sports. Talk to you tomorrow, too.